Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR on this Monday, April the 10th. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson.
Yes, good morning, Tim.
Appreciate you guys filling in. I got a little bug last week that lasted 2 or 3 days, and I couldn't do anything hardly.
That thing's going around too.
Yeah,
I know several people.
I'm not contagious any longer, as far as I know.
Good,
Ed. Since I'm sitting a foot and a half from you,
happy to hear it.
It's going around where we live anyway. Some tragic, sad news, Fred. Leading the headlines this morning, right?
Yeah, out of Louisville, Kentucky, there's been a shooting in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. We're told near the Old National Bank. Where the police are just giving a briefing on it right now. At least 5 people killed. The shooter, as the police say, has been neutralized, so that means the shooter has been brought down by police. We really don't know much more than that at the moment. Officers exchanged gunshots with the suspect. This happened in the last hour and a half, 2 hours. So police are still on the scene. They're telling people not to go near there because they're doing their initial investigation. So Old National Bank, downtown Louisville, Kentucky, shooting this morning, at least 5 people killed. 6 others were taken to hospital for treatment. We don't know the condition of those 6. And as far as we know, the shooter has been brought down and killed by police.
And I know people always ask questions when you tell them you don't know. But my only question to you, Fred, about this is, was it a bank robbery? Do you know that?
We do not know that.
Yeah, there's no, none of that information is available yet.
Okay.
Because this
literally just happened in the last.
Like literally just happened around 8:30 a.m. So
all right,
happened.
But cue the gun violence press release.
Yeah.
Well, President Biden has been informed about the incident, so I expect there to be some statement issued by the Biden administration along the lines of what we've commonly heard from him or whoever's writing the press releases for him.
They really don't need to write a new one. They just have to fill in the
new line. Date.
Yeah. New date and wherever it happened. And,
yeah.
And gun violence is the problem.
We are seeing one detail here coming from this latest briefing. It's police are saying they believe the gunman was associated with the bank. I don't. That means an employee. I assume that's what it means.
A witness, reading from a Fox News story about it, a witness inside the building where the shooting happened told the local news station that an unidentified man with a, quote, long assault rifle, end quote, began opening fire on the first floor. He just started firing, the witness reported. I didn't see his face. We were in the conference room. Whoever was next to me got shot. So
evidently, you know, at a bank, they would have security.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And there is a line on the Fox News report that 2 officers were shot.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say what their injuries were or how severe. But you would, at a bank in downtown Louisville, you would have armed. You would think you would have armed security present.
And there's an alarm. I'm sure there are alarms all over where, you know, bank tellers, anybody can press an alarm and the police would arrive, I would guess, fairly swiftly.
But they're reporting that the person who committed the crime and was shot and killed.
Yes.
Was associated with the bank in some fashion.
That is what they were just telling us in this latest briefing. So we'll have more. We'll keep you up to date, folks, on this very tragic story.
All right. Hope everybody had a wonderful Easter celebration.
We did.
Yeah.
We had a wonderful service yesterday. And Sunday school was a good day, and then had dinner with my daughter-in-law's family, and it was wonderful. Great day. Beautiful weather.
Yeah. Our church held their service. We're one of those churches that has two services on a Sunday morning to accommodate everybody. So we met at a local convention center. I'm told this morning there were about 1,700, 1,800 people there.
Wow.
And just sitting in the service, I looked around, the people around me I had never seen before. So I'm hoping that represents a lot of folks who, and a lot of folks just go to church on Easter Sunday.
Or Christmas, yeah.
Or Christmas. They heard the gospel message, and that's what's important. But it was a great day.
I do want to give a shout-out to my pastor, who Scooter Noland, who is also a board member here at American Family Association. We found out yesterday in the afternoon on Facebook, someone posted asking for prayer. He was in tremendous pain Saturday night, but said, I'm preaching. It's heroic. I'm preaching services tomorrow. He preached three services, went to the hospital, and had to have his gallbladder removed. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying that. He had to have emergency surgery.
You just violated HIPAA. Just HIPAA.
I'm sorry. I apologize. No, it's okay. To the family. Yeah. It was on Facebook. He had to have emergency surgery. He was in tremendous pain, preached three services, and that was just heroic. And
I text him because I go to the same church you do this morning, and told him that I had just heard about this and that his man card was secure for life.
Absolutely. Huh? You preach under those circumstances in tremendous pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
All right.
I apologize to the family for revealing families.
All you got to do to cover yourself on stuff like that, if you're a Christian, is say, so I'm just asking for prayer.
I'm just asking for folks to be praying for
you're covered.
Yeah.
You can say anything you want to about anybody. All you need to do is end it with. There are two things Christians can end their gossip and rumors and even slander with from time to time if they want to do that. So I just ask that you remember them in prayer.
Yes.
Or you can say, I just wanted to share my heart. Because who condemns you for sharing your heart?
Right.
Huh?
That's right.
Your brother just shared his heart.
That's what I was doing, Tim. I was sharing my heart.
That's what I'm saying.
I just wanted to just really credit my pastor with heroic.
Right, by sharing your heart.
By sharing my heart.
Yes.
And I do invite folks to pray for him.
Yes, absolutely.
That's funny.
Absolutely. Okay, Fred.
next story. A sergeant from Fort Hood, Texas. His name is Sergeant Daniel Perry. Back in 2020, in order to earn a little bit of extra money, he worked as an Uber driver. And he happened to be in Austin on a particular night when there was a Black Lives Matter protest, a mob in downtown Austin. One of those protesters, according to documents, pointed a high-powered rifle, an AK-47, at Sergeant Perry. Sergeant Perry had the legal right to carry a weapon himself. When that gun was pointed at him, he fired back, and he killed that person who was pointing that gun at him. Sergeant Perry, Daniel Perry, was charged with murder, and late last week, he was found guilty of that charge. The administration, the state government in Texas, including the governor of Texas, is reacting to that fact that he was charged by murder. They say it is a George Soros-funded prosecutor in Austin. Shouldn't have been charged with murder. Abbott, others are saying he has a right, the sergeant did, to self-defense. A gun pointed at you, you have a right to shoot back. Governor Abbott is saying he's going to do everything possible to expedite a pardon. That petition would have to go through what's called a Board of Pardons and Paroles in Texas. The Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, also responding to this and speaking out against that county district attorney, Jose Garza. Here's Attorney General Ken Paxton. Cut one.
We've got a real problem. The legislature needs to address malicious prosecutions and prosecutors who are not doing their jobs, who are not prosecuting real crimes. This guy ignores real crimes. lots of property crimes, drug crimes, abortion crimes, any crimes that he doesn't like, he nullifies. And then he maliciously prosecutes people that he doesn't like for political purposes.
Will the parole board overturn this conviction?
Look, I'm really optimistic. They're not elected. They're appointed by the governor. There are seven members. And I sincerely hope that they will take what's happened into account, especially what you talked about, the investigator, and let this guy go, pardon him, because he does not deserve to go to prison.
You know, in the opinion of the governor of the state of Texas, Greg Abbott, This must have been really egregious. The reason I say that, you don't ever hear of a governor, I've never heard of it, except maybe on their way out of office, they make pardons like presidents do. You have a situation where a fellow was prosecuted, tried by a jury, and found guilty. And now the governor is going to step in and do away with that, as is his constitutional right in the state of Texas, I guess, per approval by the
state constitution requires that this board make the recommendation before a governor can pardon someone.
It's just an extraordinary, I don't know if it's unprecedented, but it's an extraordinary situation. So the governor is saying, as did Ken Paxton, the attorney general, that this fella, what's his name?
Sergeant Daniel Perry.
He was acting in self-defense.
Yes.
And therefore, this is an illegitimate ruling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The circumstances of the case, as near as I understand them, is that Perry, the man who was convicted, was in his vehicle. There's BLM riots going on. A gentleman approached him. His name was Garrett Foster. He had an AK-47 rifle, and he's approaching Perry, who's in his car, and Perry perceives that this man is coming with the rifle to do him harm. So he shoots him. And what the prosecutor said was, Perry could have just driven off, okay, and brought witnesses forward who said the man never raised his rifle. All right, so let me just say this. I think, first of all, cities are going to have to, I don't expect that these big cities will do it, but cities are going to have to crack down on these quote-unquote protests that are nothing more than riots and opportunities for looting. It's one thing to be able to peacefully protest, which is what the Constitution allows, all right? But when you have a riot situation, bad things are going to happen. And apparently Perry thought, with all the rioting that was going on, this man walking towards him, you don't take off in your car and a man's got an AK-47. If he intends to shoot you, he'll shoot you dead before you can get 10 feet away. And I don't know that the guy has to, even if it's true that he didn't raise the weapon to fire, you don't want to wait until someone raises the gun to fire. He's approaching in a riot situation with a weapon. That's a bad situation to be in for everyone involved. A
couple of things. I thought these liberals were for gun control. So what's a BLM?
When it's convenient.
What's a BLM activist carrying around a weapon at a rally or a riot for?
What was the young man in Wisconsin, remember?
Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah, Rittenhouse. The whole thing that the left was saying was he should never have been there in that circumstance with a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now you have a left-wing Soros-funded district attorney who apparently thinks it's okay as long as you're on the BLM side.
Let me ask you this, Fred. For those who don't know, I know 90% of the people listening do know, we keep hearing the expression by people who are conservative, Soros-funded district attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that about the New York Manhattan one, Bragg, and others.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means that these prosecutors are elected, and they are getting help from George Soros, who is a multi-billionaire leftist. and he pumps money into their election campaigns.
Why?
He finds out.
Because why does he care about district attorney races?
He cares about them because district attorneys, Alvin Bragg in New York, very powerful. These district attorneys, they decide many times, you know, we have cases in St. Louis right now. Gardner is the prosecutor there, a Soros-funded prosecutor. She's in trouble right now because they have these policies of really kind of letting bad people go early. Or reducing.
Why would you want to do that in the name of what?
In the name of, it has to do with.
Social justice, right?
Social justice. It has to do with equity in the judicial system. They talk about that a lot. In other words, in a given city, which may have a population of 15% black people, then they argue that only 15% of the people in jail should be black, according to the demographic. If it's more than that, then they say, oh, there's racism in the judicial system. We need to get prosecutors in here that are going to take that into account.
And the reason that George Soros, since 2015, 2016, has been pouring money into these races is because they do not believe that state legislatures care about this injustice. So what he did, and it's actually pretty shrewd strategy, is we're going to circumvent the legislature, we're going to circumvent Congress, and we're going directly to the one spot that makes decisions about who they're going to prosecute. That's the district attorney's office. And since 2016, George Soros has funneled $40 million into these campaigns, and one estimate that I'm looking at now says that 20% of Americans are now living under district attorneys funded by George Soros money. And the reason his money is, you say, well, it's only $40 million, that's not much. Okay, well, think about this. The amount of money that's spent on congressional races, presidential races, statewide governor's races is really high. But nobody pays much attention to district attorney races. You don't have to spend a lot of money to win the race. Several waves of ads are probably enough to get name recognition to get these people elected. It's a very shrewd strategy on the part of Soros. He believes he's fighting against injustice. And what we're seeing is that these district attorneys are making decisions about who to prosecute. And they are deciding not to prosecute people of color when they are arrested and charged with a crime.
Or they downgrade their charges.
Yes.
Yes.
Or they plea bargain, whatever.
And also, they go after, I mentioned the St. Louis Circuit Attorney, Kimberly Gardner. Remember what she did to the couple that went out on their front lawn? They had guns in their hands. They were protecting themselves.
Yes.
They lived
yes.
in a closed community.
Right.
There were rioters coming down their street.
Yes, I remember that.
They
yeah.
stood on the lawn.
Right.
Just to show these people that we have weapons to defend
and we'll
ourselves.
Defend our house.
They never shot anybody.
Right.
They did not.
And they were arrested, and it wasn't wise. It is illegal to brandish a gun at someone. That is illegal. And when you take a concealed carry course to get your license, they do warn you against that. However, under the circumstances, I think they should not have been prosecuted because you have rioters coming down the street and you're letting
into a gated community.
Into a gated community, and you're saying, don't come to our house, we'll defend it.
Yes.
As far as I saw that video clip of what was that couple's name? They did brandish, but they didn't point their weapon at anybody. But that's so back to my original question. So George Soros, this international billionaire, Hungarian
McCloskeys.
Yes. Okay, but he's also American.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, did you see where his son has access to all the Democrat leaders? Basically can visit them at the White House whenever he wants.
Yep.
Because he's a top donor to the Democrat Party. But so George Soros is funding these district attorneys, as you say, very shrewd. If you want to have a policy impact, you're not really Yeah, I'm sure he funds governors and presidential candidates and such. But to fund them, but now these people still have to be elected by the citizens of the area, and we're talking about big cities, basically, folks. So what's happened is, in some places, his people that he funded and got elected, like in San Francisco, that person has been recalled.
Yes, so bad.
So bad, even liberal San Francisco recalled him.
Right. Yes.
And quite frankly, this harms the people that live in the big cities, even though in many cases they vote for it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is these district attorneys are turnstile the criminals.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So they're letting these violent criminals back out on the street with a very, very little punishment, if any. They don't have to post bail.
Nope.
And so you get what you have now in these American big cities, which is absolute out of control violence and robberies and carjackings and murders because not punishing the criminals, not putting them away.
Yeah.
In the name of social justice.
Yes. And in the case of Alvin Bragg there in New York.
Right.
Which has become a household name because of what he did to Donald Trump last week. But Alvin Bragg has a history of letting people with a rap sheet a mile long go, and they commit more crimes. Remember, Alvin Bragg is the prosecutor who went after the bodega owner.
Yes.
Yeah. Who defended himself against a weapon carrying.
Right. He was going to charge him with murder.
Yes. He was going to charge him with murder.
It's a very warped way of looking at the world. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I would say still, bottom line is it's on the people who live in these communities, in these cities, who vote these people in. Yes, he gets money from George Soros, but they still vote him in.
Mm-hmm.
And the people of Chicago just voted in. They just voted out Lori Lightfoot, the mayor there. And now they've voted in somebody who has as far left of views as she did or worse.
Yes.
And it's kind of like, you know, what's the old saying? You keep doing the same thing over and over and expect different results.
That's the same insanity.
Huh? What's going to happen is the businesses are going to leave these cities. These cities are going to be left without any tax base. People are going to move they've already moved from the cities to the suburbs. They're going to move from the suburbs to the country. To get away from this, from the out of control crime,
mm-hmm.
and I do think this is a net loss for the Democrat Party as a whole, going into the next election cycle. Although, you know, you might argue, well, no, I don't think so, Tim, because look in Chicago, they don't care.
Well, this one expert who's written a book about George Soros, Matt Palumbo, he says that Soros had a 90% success rate in getting these district attorneys elected. That's a pretty good batting average because people generally do not pay attention to district attorney races.
Right. But in these big cities, they keep voting. They keep voting. I don't mean to sound unsympathetic, but they keep voting for this.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to, you know, when you want to say you can do something by voting differently, and they say, no, we want to keep doing the same thing. It's hard to feel sorry for people who think like that. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church.
We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes. Stand by for news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Bad news for connoisseurs of fried chicken and biscuits in Portland, Oregon. Cracker Barrel just announced they're closing all of their restaurants in that part of the country. Portland, a once beautiful and vibrant city, turned into a desolate, crime-infested wasteland. Progressive Democrats have allowed anarchists to pretty much control the streets, basically modern-day warlords. Cracker Barrel blamed the closures on the China virus, but I'm not so sure. Walmart recently announced they too were closing all of their Portland-area stores. They blame the closings on crime. The Walmart CEO said record-breaking retail theft was hurting the company's bottom line, and small companies, too, are facing closures. So my recommendation to the good people of Portland, Oregon, is to order a cast-iron skillet. It's the only proper way to fry chicken, and it's also useful in fighting off the anarchist. Be sure to get a copy of my book, Culture Jihad. It's available at toddstarnes.com or your favorite bookstore.
However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. 1 Corinthians 2:9.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Ed, if folks want to watch or send us a message, how can they do that?
Well, comments@afr.net, if they want to send a constructive comment.
Got to be a Caleb email.
That's what we
positive
what we
and encouraging.
We prefer that.
Yes, positive and encouraging people.
If you want to watch us, folks, you have two options. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues and click through. You can watch the live video stream of this program. I'm waving to those of you who are watching right now. Or you can go to our streaming platform, streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net. And you can watch us there.
Listen, folks, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, we're going to have Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. It's an exciting time for us. We do twice a year, 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall. And we'll have a lot of guests and a lot of, you know, again, it'll be a very exciting time for us as we ask our listeners to financially support the ministry. And you always come through. Folks have always come through over the years. We've been around since 1991, American Family Radio, if you can believe that. And we ask that you pray for our share-a-thon because we want to keep, I say, American Family Radio, we want to keep going and growing.
Yes.
And we are expanding our territory because we're picking up listeners by the thousands monthly on our, especially on our app,
right?
Our AFR app, and on our radio network. So we encourage you to pray for us, and please be as generous as you can with a donation or donations during our American Family Radio Share-a-thon. Again, that's going to start 6 a.m. Central Time tomorrow, and then go through Thursday. One other, I was thinking about, we were talking about what happened in Texas. What's the fellow's name? Who?
Sergeant Daniel Perry.
Okay, and Governor Abbott has said he's going to pardon him.
Work hard to pardon him, yes.
He was convicted of murder.
Yes.
And the governor's saying, no, it was absolutely self-defense, and I will pardon him. And, of course, he has to go through the parole board, as we mentioned earlier before. But you said the prosecutor in the case said that he should have driven off while he...
That's the argument that was made. I'm looking at an NPR story.
He was an Uber driver, right?
Yes.
An Uber driver. You know what I just thought about here? If he had, quote, driven off... The guy's coming at you with a gun.
An AK-47.
AK-47 in a riot. It was a BLM riot, protest. Your life's threatened. You have good reason to believe that. You shoot to defend yourself against a real and perceived threat, perceived and real. Can you have a real threat? And next thing you know, well, not the next thing you know, after a trial, you're convicted of murder. And so I just thought, well, if he would have, quote, driven off, let's say you ever try to think rationally and control a vehicle when you're in a panic mode? If he had tried to drive off and then ran over a few of these protesters,
right,
then he would have been nailed for a murder, homicide, because he ran over BLM protesters.
Right.
You know?
So those situations are, I've never been in one, but I've seen plenty of video footage where a car takes the wrong turn or whatever and winds up on a street with people, and they're approaching your car. They're shouting, they're screaming,
right,
banging on the windows, right, or whatever. That's got to be terrifying. And you can't just hit the accelerator because you're surrounded by people. And...
Right.
Listen, that's why I said these should be peaceful protests. They should be monitored by police. And when people get out of line, because the Constitution allows for a peaceful redress of grievances. All right. It says peaceful in the Constitution. So that's the way these kinds of protests should be monitored by the police. And when things get out of hand, you shut it down. And because nothing good comes out of those kinds of confrontational behaviors. When a person like Sergeant Perry, Army Sergeant Perry, is in a vehicle and he's being approached, and a guy comes with a rifle towards him, he doesn't know if that guy lifts that weapon up 6 inches, he's dead. This man Perry wanted to go home to his family. So bad things happen when you let people's emotions get out of hand, and to some extent, this falls on the police in Austin for not controlling the riot.
Yeah. Next story, Fred.
Well, it was 2 weeks ago today when that tragic shooting occurred at the Christian school in the Nashville area. The shooter, we were just learning a little bit more from police. Audrey Hale, 28-year-old former student at the school, she delivered about 150 rounds that ended up killing those three precious children and three adults who worked at that school. Almost immediately, the phrase gun violence came into play from the left. It was gun violence, gun violence, gun violence. That led to a protest at the Tennessee legislature last week. What happened during the protest is that three elected Democrats, took control of a legislative session. They got a bullhorn out, and they were shouting support to all the protesters who were in the gallery and who were trying to get in. You may have seen video. Police officers who were trying to guard the legislative well, as they call it, were being pushed by these students. But these three Democrats, as I say, took control of the legislative session. Late last week, these three were voted to be expelled for their activity. There were three Democrats. One of the Democrats apparently didn't take the bullhorn. She was not believed to have gone to the extent that the other two. The other two are legislators, I believe one from Knoxville, one from
Memphis. Nashville and Memphis, I think.
Nashville and Memphis, you're right. The third one was from Knoxville. So the two of them voted to be expelled. Well, on the weekend, Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, goes to Nashville. She is angry, upset, screaming and hollering. She's at a meeting there, and she is saying this never should have happened to these two. They should never have been expelled, and the fact that they were expelled, are you ready for this, is a threat to democracy, despite the fact that they took over. I want to play you a little bit. This is Kamala Harris over the weekend defending these people. Cut number six.
But they understood that the voices must be heard.
Yes.
So think about this. In order to make sure the voices were represented in that place where elected leaders are supposed to lead in a democracy, these leaders had to get a bullhorn. They had to get a bullhorn to be heard. Too.
Now,
have to get a bullhorn. Again, just to be clear, what we're talking about here is those three people you mentioned who are state legislators in Tennessee.
Correct.
They were expelled.
Yes.
No, two of them were expelled. One of them, I guess, was censured or disciplined. It wasn't a matter of what they were saying, because there's a process for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a matter of two of the three of them were black. One of them was a white lady. Two of them were black men. Because if they were expelling people because of their skin color, there's a whole bunch of other state legislators in Tennessee who are African American,
mm-hmm.
who were not expelled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a racism situation, okay, or a sexism situation. They were expelled because you can't conduct state business with people storming into the Capitol building and one of the legislators using a bullhorn inside the room.
Yes.
It was a matter of violating decorum and protocols, I guess you could say. It wasn't a matter of what they were saying, like Kamala Harris there, the vice president, is trying to say. I don't know where she was speaking right there.
I think it's Fisk. Is it Fisk University?
Fisk University.
Yes.
Fisk University. Okay. So, and she said they, quote, have to get a bullhorn to be heard. No, they don't.
No.
No, they don't. They don't have to get a bullhorn. Mm-hmm. You're wrong
mm-hmm.
about that. The other thing was she didn't make an offer, as far as we know, to visit the families or say anything about the families of the six families who were victims of the trans shooter, the shooter who identified as a what am I trying to say?
She identified as a trans man.
It was a girl who thinks she was a boy.
Yep.
And she's the one who did the shooting.
Yes.
At the Covenant School.
And killed those people at the Christian school.
Yes.
In Nashville. So she didn't offer to. So she's going there. She can go to Nashville. Couldn't go a few days earlier to offer to meet with the families. That people are just pointing that out.
Well, and the utter hypocrisy of this, because the Biden administration, Kamala Harris is the vice president. I don't remember her coming out in defense of parents in Loudoun County, Virginia, who went to school board meetings and they shouted. They shouted, and they said they were upset with the left-wing curriculum that their kids were being taught, not to mention the fact that the school board was allowing boys who said they were girls to go into girls' washrooms. In fact, Kamala Harris's attorney general, Biden's attorney general, wrote a letter Merrick Garland wrote a letter calling these parents who were upset terrorists. Did Kamala Harris come to the rescue of
those? No, it's all about pandering.
And I want to stress, too, these Democrat legislators there in Nashville could have gone to the Speaker of the House and said, we want to raise a concern. They didn't do that. They took over a legislative session.
They had to call a recess.
Yes. They took over a legislative session that was dealing with something else entirely. Some people are saying, wait a minute, I think that's called insurrection.
Yeah. Did Kamala Harris, what if you applied her standard and said, you know, the people who went into the Capitol on January 6th, they had to be heard.
Right.
Yes. Huh?
It's a democracy.
It's a democracy. And the only way they could be heard was to storm the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could make by going on her argument about what happened there in the state Capitol there in Nashville, you could say the same thing.
And we have been critical of what happened on January 6th.
Yeah.
So we're equally critical about what happened in Tennessee. It's not my state, but
you can't have law and order with anarchy.
Right.
You can't have law and order with anarchy, and everybody ought to be able to agree on that, left and right, Republican, Democrat. If you can't, then you got chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a recipe for disaster across the country if you can't agree on the rules.
If you don't have now, some people make fun of law and order people, but here's what I always say. If there is no law and order, people will take the law into their own hands. That's why you have law and order. That's why you have laws, and that's why everyone's supposed to play by the same rules. When that collapses, people take the law into their own hands, and then what you have is innocent people who get hurt.
And let's be clear. These two members of the legislature in Tennessee, they're expelled. There is a process. They're going to be back in there within a matter of months. All right. The people on January 6th, they're sitting in prison cells for some of them for years.
Yeah, this has been going on for 3 years. Some of them are still there.
Hadn't had their trial.
And the Constitution guarantees a speedy trial, but they're considered to be insurrectionists. And I think that the mentality of those in D.C. who are supposed to be doing the prosecuting, they're saying, well, I'm surprised they haven't shipped them to Gitmo. Yeah. In Cuba as terrorists. That's the way they're being treated.
Another thing that's going on here, what Kamala Harris is doing right there, I don't necessarily buy it that she believes what she's saying. Nor do I buy that, I guess you could say, well, it doesn't really matter whether she believes it or not. She's still saying it. What she and Biden and a lot of the Democrats are doing at every opportunity, they're pandering, particularly to black folks. They're pandering. They're trying to make up racism when it isn't there. It's shameful. They're trying to fan the flames of division. This is what Al Sharpton makes a living at doing. And it doesn't help anybody at all. And they try to stoke division between white people and black people by saying two of these legislators were black, therefore it's racism.
Mm-hmm.
Never considering the whole context of what we just discussed here. As I've said, if this were racism, then they would just expel all the black members across the state from the state legislature. So it wasn't that, and they've never done that before, as far as I know. Even though it was about a particular cause of action, which we've talked about here before. This is like blaming the whole gun violence thing. These Democrat politicians, a lot of them, they gaslight you. By gaslight, I mean they try to make you believe something that isn't so, and their default position is that. Americans are inherently racist, particularly white Americans. And so we blame everything we can on that to try to stoke division among peoples, and it's shameful. Does racism exist? Yeah, we have 330 million people in America. Racism exists around the world, always has, and always will. Because men's hearts are sinful, and people hate each other and hate people for different reasons, not just skin color. White people hate other white people for different reasons because they're a different socioeconomic, or they're a different family, or I don't know. People have all kind of crazy reasons why they have animus or hatred toward other people. But I think that's extremely rare. I think the vast, vast majority of Americans are fair-minded folks who don't hate anybody. They just want to live their lives in peace and have law and order and be free from crime and enjoy their lives. But these lefties here, they just want to always stoke these flames of division. And it's, as I said, it's just shameful.
Yeah.
So, that's what's happening right here. That's why, you know, Biden a few years ago, he famously said he was speaking to a group of black leaders, and he said, they just want to put y'all back in chains. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I'm talking about. You could almost see him turn around and Riley smile, Riley, you know, at somebody behind him saying they're buying this. Mm-hmm. But they want to put you back in chains. What he was saying, Republicans want to make y'all slaves again.
Reinstitute slavery.
Yeah. Yep. That's the kind of stuff.
Or Jim Crow 2.0. That in Georgia?
Yes.
Remember?
Which wasn't true.
Right.
Wasn't true. Remember? That's another great example of trying to stoke division and fan the flames of false, F-A-U-X, mm-hmm. racism charges. Biden says what Georgia did was, he said, is Jim Crow 2. In other words, they're trying to make it illegal for black folks to vote.
Yes.
You guys got to see what's going on here. Well, guess what? Subsequent to that, they had two voting cycles, I think, in which the voting among African-Americans and other people of color in Georgia was way up.
Yep.
And they the Democrats won the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
There. Now, they lost the governor's seat, but it was a fair election.
Yep.
I'm talking about the last cycle.
Yeah, but you will hear threat to democracy. You heard Kamala Harris mention threat to democracy. That is a favorite line of the Democrats.
What's a threat to democracy? What happened in Tennessee?
Yes. It's a threat to democracy that these two Democrats were not allowed to take over a legislative session to make their point about gun control.
Yeah, right.
However, if Republicans took over a legislative session, Kamala Harris would be saying,
"Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's a threat to democracy.
They're a threat to democracy."
Right. That's what I mean. It's pandering and gaslighting, and it's all political. Anyway, next story, Fred.
All right. On Friday, the United States Supreme Court,
deep breathe,
ruled in favor of parents of a 12-year-old boy in West Virginia who wants to play on and has been playing on a girls' team at his school, 12-year-old boy, who goes by the name of Becky Pepper Jackson.
What now?
12-year-old.
Becky. It's a boy. It's a 12-year-old boy in West Virginia.
Yes.
And he wants to play girls' sports.
He wants to continue playing on the girls' track and cross-country teams.
Okay.
He calls himself Becky Pepper Jackson, and his parents are okay with this. But back in 2021, West Virginia officials approved the prohibition against a person who is born a boy cannot play on a girls' team.
Which is what red states are doing all over the country.
All over the country. So this goes up to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court, basically what they ruled on Friday was, this is being disputed in the lower courts. We're going to let this dispute continue, all right? Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito said, no, we should apply the West Virginia law as it stands right now, all right? They said the court shouldn't be involved with this.
Alito and Thomas are the gold standard
yes.
for Supreme Court justices. Those guys are just stellar.
Which is why they're attacked in the media and by the left all the time. West Virginia Attorney General was a guest this morning. His name is Patrick Morrissey. He was a guest this morning on Jenna Ellis's show talking about this. Cut number four.
We were deeply disappointed with the result the other day, but I think you're right. This is a temporary procedural setback. And the reason why I say that is because I believe that once this issue gets fully teed up on the merits, it's going to be very clear that what the West Virginia legislature did is completely consistent with the Constitution. It's consistent with Title IX. It's consistent with basic science and common sense. And as this record goes up further in the process, ultimately we're going to prevail.
This is going to be a big fight in this election. It was one of the keys, I believe, for the turnaround in Virginia back a few years ago about this threat to girls' sports, about this threat to girls in girls' bathrooms by boys. And one of the stars of this fight is becoming Riley Gaines. She is the champion, swimming champion from the University of Pennsylvania.
Kentucky. Kentucky.
I'm sorry. University of Kentucky.
You're thinking of Will Thomas.
Yes.
UPenn swimmer.
Now, what happened was she's been on the talking circuit. Riley Gaines has. She went to the San Francisco State University on the weekend, and basically she was shouted down. She had to stay in a room for a couple of hours because of the mob.
Physical. They were threatening to beat her to a pulp.
Yes.
Okay. She was at a turning point. I think Charlie Kirk.
Yes.
I think that's what it was.
At San Francisco State University.
So a mob chases her down.
Yeah, mob chases her down. She doesn't manage to get out of there. Now, the president of that state university.
She was punched
by
a man
claiming
to be a woman.
The president of the university has called it a peaceful protest. All right? But
suing him.
Riley Gaines is going to sue.
Yeah.
Going to sue.
I heard her describe this. It was terrifying. This is one brave young lady.
She is.
Her name is Riley Gaines, R-I-L-E-Y Gaines. She was she was SEC swimming champion, girls swimming champion. She is.
She won five SEC
She was an Olympian,
titles.
Right? She was
yes.
an Olympian. Okay. And she, what she's doing is she's standing up for girls sports everywhere. And she's saying, listen, it's wrong for boys to compete against girls in sports. And she's taking a stand. She's very brave. She's bold. She's articulate. She was like an academic All-American as well. This is an outstanding young lady. And she's taking a stand. And it's going to be interesting to see who comes along and supports her. Because especially these liberal women, they're frozen. Okay? They're frozen. They're like deer in headlights right now. They don't know what to do. Because the right thing to do is to side with Riley Gaines and say, listen, we have to protect women's sports. I don't care what you think about adults saying they're... they're a trans person, Jenner.
Right.
Bruce Jenner
Thomas.
calls Caitlyn. I'm talking about that. That's his life. We're talking about women's sports here, competition, and keeping it fair. And it's going to be interesting to see who stands with her and who doesn't. Because
she was beaten up by a man.
In a dress.
Woman. Yeah.
We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.